Today's presenter is Scott McClure. Scott is currently an advisory software engineer working as a Kix Level 2 support representative. He joined the Kix group in August of 1989. His focus is to provide remote support to CICS customers by assisting them with problem determination. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Scott.
Thank you, Elijah. Good morning and good afternoon and good evening to all of you out there listening. Thanks for joining. And we are going to be going through a presentation to teach you how to debug IR link weights. Our agenda today, I will be giving you a problem description, what we're going to be looking at, how to gather the documentation for that problem, and then actually debug and diagnose the problem. The problem that we're going to be looking at is you have two CICS regions. One's a TOR, or terminal owning region, named Outpost 16. And my other region is an AOR, or an application owning region, and his name is Outpost 17. The regions are connected via MRO, which is multi-region operation. And the problem is that you notice your TOR has many tasks beginning to back up on it. And using the CEMT task, you're able to see that many of them are in higher link type weights. Now, these tasks are taking up max slots and affecting your normal throughput that you would normally realize, which is the reason you're wanting to determine what's going on. And you need guidance to determine what is causing all these tasks to wait and not complete in a timely manner. So that's our problem description and what we're going to be going after. Gathering documentation, we're going to need a system dump of all the connected regions involved. And what I mean is, you may have MRO connect. You might have possibly hundreds of MRO connections connected to your TOR, so you really don't want to go dumping 100 regions because you don't know which one to dump or which one's giving you the problem. Therefore, it makes it an unreasonable request just to go dump everything. Of course, if you only had two or three regions connected this way, only talking to each other, you could certainly just go out and perform a dump either via the dump command from the console or using CEMT to perform snap a dump of those connected regions. You could also make use of the related option. I'm not going to get real into that, but if you do use the related option, just be aware that the connected regions don't show up all in one dump. A dump request is actually sent out to MVS, and he determines if there's units of work connected in other regions, and it will actually go cause those regions to dump, so you would have to go look at those logs to see what the names of those dumps would be. In the situation where it would be unreasonable to just go dump many, many regions because you don't know where to start, then certainly just start with a system dump from the TOR that where you saw all the IR link weights with CEMT. So that's kind of where we're going to start with. So with CEMT, if you did an inquire task command issued on the TOR, it can give you a head start into the dump. This is very simplified. I only had two tasks there. One of them is a CECI transaction, and you can see that he is in an IR link weight, as you see in red there. If you put a question mark next to this, it will expand out, give you a little more information. And the key thing to key in here is the fact that it is in the IR link weight, and that H value there in blue. We're going to look at it later, but you want to note for now the 1617 with the greater sign AAA. What I'm going to do right now is doing an IPCS on the command line. I'm doing the ST space sys command just to get the incident token at the bottom in red there. Just to give me a time of when this dump was taken. And again, this is a dump of the TOR. So I know the time of my dump is 14:57:26. I'm going to use that later. So using the dump of the region that's incurring the IR link weight, you can do a verbex command. This was taken at 3.2 level, KIX 3.2. And I'm formatting the dispatcher domain. I want to see that dispatcher domain to determine what tasks are all in the IR link weight. The output of that is on this next page. Just to recap from the previous page here, we formatted out the dispatcher domain. And what we're looking for are tasks that are in IR link weights. Looking down the resource type column, we can see we've got 15 or 20 of them all in IR link weights. And I'm using the timestamp from our stsys command to basically hone in on a couple of the oldest ones, and that's what I have highlighted in red and blue there. If you remember from previous on our CEMT Inquirer, when we expanded it out, I noted or pointed out the 1617 and the greater sign AAA. That's our resource name, and that's going to be key to finding out what's going on our other side. I like to take at least two of the oldest guys when I'm shooting one of these just to compare the two tasks to see if they end up in the same way. If they do, I'm pretty comfortable that all the other IR link weights that we're seeing here are most likely in the same situation. If they're different, then I might take each one of them separately and just do the same debug techniques that we're getting ready to go through. You also want to note the task numbers all the way to the right. Our red one is task 54, and the second oldest one is task 60. Like I said, I like to select a few of the tasks in the weights. Picking the oldest ones usually is the best thing to do. You want to note that information under that resource name column, because that is actually indicating the connection name and the term ID of the associated session. So in this case, that task was waiting on connection 1617 for session greater than able, and then the second oldest task was the same connection on a different terminal or session of AA greater than AAB. We're going to take that information and do another verbex command to format out the terminal control domain with verbex and TCP. Once we have that output, what you'll do, and I've tried to highlight all the commands that I did on each page. As you can see here, I did a find for the system entry, which is a TCTSE. .1617, because that was the connection that was waiting on a response from somebody. An IR link wait means I'm waiting on a response from a remote region. Okay, so I did my find command, and I actually found my system entry here that's highlighted in red. The connection name is actually 1617 in this instance, or example. And I want to make note of the net name at offset 18 there. It's outpost 17. That's the connected region that I'm waiting for the response from. Also, it's net name, also the Apple ID. The other information that we had, we knew it was connection 1617, and we also knew that the session or the TCTTE associated with that connection was greater than able. So after I got my information from my system entry, I did another find command for the TCTTE, dot greater than able, get to my TCTTE entry, which I see there in red, and just matching up, remember we had noted task 54 and task 60 as the two oldest guys. And we can see at offset 14 there that this is task 54 running on this terminal. Below that, I have my TIOA associated with it, along with a sign-on extension, and then what's known as the NIB descriptor, or TCTE NIB. That's going to play an important part here because, if, as you can see on the right-hand side in the eye catcher, to the left of my greater than able, able, able is another session called less than able, able, four. And you're going to want to make note of that because that's the session on ALPO 17 that we're going to, that's holding us up, or he's the guy we're waiting on a response from. So using that NIB descriptor again, using the eye catcher, you can determine the associated term ID from that connected region, and we're going to use that information to find what associated task is running on that connected region and not completing in a timely manner, because he is the cause of this specific IR link weight. I have the NIB again at the bottom there, and again, it's less than able, able, four is his connected session. And because I actually always take two examples, I'm showing you the second one we were waiting on in ALPO 16 was greater than able, able, Baker, TCTTE. So I then found him and went straight to his NIB. I'm not showing the middle parts. And his NIB shows that his associated session is less than able, able, five. Again, on region ALPO 17. So those are the two TCTTEs we want to go pick on. Just to recap what we know so far, is that we had many tasks on our TOR that were sitting in IR link weights. The two oldest tasks using the timestamp from the dump and the times they went into a wait were tasks 54 and 60. And we determined that both the tasks were waiting on response from connection 1617, which relates to a net name or an Apple ID of ALPO 17. And the two terminal sessions, able, 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 and greater than able, able, Baker, were both waiting on a associated session on ALPO 17, and those two sessions were less than able, able, four, and less than able, able, five. If you use the timestamps to determine how long they've been waiting, you can see that the greater than able, able, able had been waiting for almost 6 minutes, and the session on greater than able, able, Baker had waited almost 4 minutes. So our next step is to find those associated terminals on ALPO 17 within a dump of him and determine what their associated tasks were doing to hold up the response back to the TOR. Now, if you had only started with the TOR dump because you didn't know who else to go dump, now's the time that you do know who to go dump. So if you didn't already have a dump of ALPO 17, you could certainly go do so and capture one now. Because now we know who to go look for. So using that dump of the AOR, or in our case, ALPO 17, I'm again going to format out the terminal control domain, because I need to go find those associated connection and terminal definitions. Now remember, our TOR net name was ALPO 16. We're currently on ALPO 17. So I actually, because I'm in the dump of ALPO 17, I want to go find the connection definition for ALPO 16. So again, I could either do a find on my system entry using TCTSE.1716 if I knew that, but if I didn't know that, what I did was just use the Apple ID because I knew the Apple ID of the TOR. That's what I did. I issued a find for ALPO 16, and it brought me to my system entry, which his name is 1716. Now that I've found my system entry, I need to find those two associated session definitions under that system entry. So I did a find for my first one, TCTTE dot less than able4 to bring me to my terminal entry. And what you're going to want to note here is the TCA address at offset 10, which is 5.080, and note the task number 116. Just for confirmation that I'm looking at the right TCTTE, if I also go to his NIB descriptor, I can see that he does pair up in the eye catcher there with greater than able, where we started from. Because I did two examples and always like to do so, I'm now finding my second TCTTE, which was less than able 5. Remember, he was connected to greater than able Baker on outpost 16. And again, you can see from the NIB descriptor, it, just for a sanity check, it does match up. I'm looking at the right guy, and again, I would want to note my TCA address and my task number. This task is 117, TCA address of 5Baker080. Knowing that information, I can now format out the kernel domain with a verbex DFHPD650 using KE as my keyword. So I can find those two TCA addresses and determine what I want to know is make note of their KE num. You can see under the TCA address, I found my two TCA addresses and matched up my TRAN numbers, and I can see that the TRAN IDs are CSMIs, or mirror transactions. Using the KE num, I can then go find the stacks within the kernel domain, beginning with the first KE num of 3DOG, and just looking at the eye catchers on the right sides of these guys, I can see I linked to DFH mirror, and then I'm linking to a program. We don't know what program, but that will be determined. And then we can see that a call was made to ICP, which is the interval control program, via another exec call, and then a call to dispatcher to suspend the task. That's in blue there, the DFH DSSR. If I look at my second stack, which was KENUM 46, I can see he looks exactly the same. Again, linked to a program to be determined yet. A call to interval control program and suspended out of DSSR. So I need to know, why are these suspended, or what's going on with those two tasks? I'm now going to format out the dispatcher domain using DS keyword to see what our problem tasks are doing. We knew it was task 116 and 117. You can find your task number in the dispatcher all the way to the right under the XM underscore TXN underscore token column. They always end in Charlie because they're packed fields, but you can see the two highlighted in red are the tasks we're looking for, 116 and 117. And if we look under the resource type column here, we can see that they're both in interval control weights, or IC weights. And we can also see that the resource name is our associated session definitions that we found when we first came into this dump, are less than able 5 and less than able 4. Our goal is to determine the program that issued the weight, because that program is responsible for the IR link weight on the TOR, which is what the TOR is waiting for, a response from this guy, and he's not responding because he's waiting. So I'm now going to format out the AP domain to find those associated TCA numbers that we made note of earlier, and look at the exec interface control blocks for tasks 116 and 117. The way you can find the TCA is by the task number with TCA dot in front of it. So I did a find for TCA dot 00116. It's always, the task number is always 5 digits. So if you don't have a 5 digit task number, you need to prepend the zeros to it. So I found my TCA 116 here. Under it, that's the user TCA, and under it I can see the system TCA. And in the eye catcher I can see, yeah, that's my CSMI task. Just going further down into this, you can see it's followed by the EIS, or the exec interface structure, and then followed by the SysEIB. Well, the SysEIB contains what's known as the EIBFN, which is the function code representing the current execkicks command being executed. It's a 2-byte field, and it currently contains a 1004, which equates to an execkicks delay. Under our SysEIB is our EIUS. And the EIUS is helpful to us because at offset 50, it contains a pointer to our application register save area. In this case, 100488. Under the EIUS, we have the EIB, which is the application's EIB. And again, at offset 1 Baker, he contains a function code. In this case, 0202, which equates to an execkicks address command. Now, when your SysEIB and your EIB have different function codes, that mainly indicates that the EIB itself is the last function that was completed, and the SysEIB is containing the current execkicks command being processed. We know our 0202, or execkicks address in this case, has been completed, and we're currently working on the previous, let me back up again, of the 1004, which equated to our execkicks delay, which explains why this task is waiting. We actually issued a delay. Remember we noted in the EIUS the register save area, which was 100488. That points to our application register save area. So what I've done now is I've gone to browse mode in IPCS, and actually I've taken us to that address. I've expanded a little bit so I could denote the register usage. Because it offset Charlie into this register save area are the registers itself. Register 14 is important because it's going to point within the program that issued that execkicks delay command. And just to ensure that we're inspecting the correct register save area, the parm list address would be addressed by register 1, and we can use it just to verify. Just some techniques that we use, not sure if you know about them, but so I'll point them out. If you put a question mark to the left of an address and hit enter, it will actually take you to that address. So that's what I'm doing here. As you can see, the red question mark in the left of register 1, and I hit enter, and it took us there. And this is the parm list address, addressed by register 1 and from the reg save area. The first thing I did was I did an equate, and I equated this, and you can see it on the command line, equate parm list. And the reason I do this is so I can jump back when necessary. And I can jump back by doing, after I've equated it, I can just do a locate for L space parmless, and it'll take me right back. So within this parmless, I have what's known as arguments, and arguments would be synonymous with options of the command. It always starts with arg0, and there can be many arguments. The last argument is always denoted by the high order 80 bit in the last argument. So looking up at the top there at arg 0, 1, and 2, we can see that arg2 is our last argument because of the high order 80 bit being turned on. So I'm going to look at arg0 by doing a question mark next to it and hitting enter, and that takes us down to where I have the arrow pointing. And we can see arg0 is our 1004, which was our EIBFN, or our function code for an execkix delay. I'm pretty confident I have my correct register save area. After I inspected that, I did a locate on parmless again, which will take me back to my parmless, and now I'm going to inspect arg1 by doing a question mark next to him, hitting enter, and it takes me to Charlie 1 0 Fox Charlie, and that argument you can see is a basically it's a 10 minute interval. You wouldn't know that at this point unless you I'm back at argument 1, and we can see basically I have a 0001 000 Charlie. That is a 10-minute interval. I'm basically giving you that information right now. You really wouldn't know that at this moment, but you'll see it come alive later. Once I've looked at that, I went back to my parmless with the locate parmless because we have it equated, and I'm going to look at argument 2. By putting the question mark next to it and hitting enter, it takes me to 1006 Charlie. And we can see here that all the bytes there for a length of 4 and some other words after that all are zeros. So basically this is indicating there aren't any more options, and we know that was the last one to look at. So we denoted our reg 14 from earlier, looking at the offset Charlie into our reg save area. And that becomes important, and it was pointing at address Charlie 1 0 Charlie 4, where I have the blue arrow pointing. If we backed up 2 bytes, we could see that the last instruction that was executed was a baller. I say baller, but it's actually a bazzer. The zero dog easy fox. Looking back further in the storage using the eye catcher, I'm looking backwards to in the eye catcher to find out what program this is. And we see that we come to a program named IR Link. And we can see that it has an assembler stub on it because the DFHYA, the A is an assembler stub. And an assembler stub is 28 bytes long. Thus, our program actually starts 28 bytes past that. So our beginning address of program IR link would actually be Charlie 10028. Now, if I subtract my start address from the address of the bazzer, I say baller, I've got that wrong, it will result in an offset of 9 able. So I know now that I want to go look at a program named IRLink at offset 9 able. Just taking my second example, because I always like to do two of them, I'm taking my other TCA now and looking for him. He was TCA 00117. Under there I have my SIS EIB, which also has a 1004. Which is an execkix delay. Under that, I have his EIUS, which is address 101488. And I could see from my EIB, the 0202 basically matches up to just like the last one we saw, where the 0202 was an ExecKick's address. So that was the last successful ExecKick's command that was executed, and the current one being executed is the 1004, or the wait. So everything's matching my first examples. Taking his reg save area from the EIUS there, 101488. Again, I'm going to note my reg 14 so I can go back and see what that program is. And again, register 1 points to his parm list. But if I notice, the register 14 is the same value as my last time, so it's pointing to the same location that task 116 was pointing to, which was program IR link. Again, the register start at plus Charlie into our reg save area. So if I pull up the listing for my program IR link, and I remember I calculated the offset was 9 able, which should point to my Bowser, my O-Dog Easy Fox. And just back up from there, I can see I'm at a label called delay, and I can see also that the command issued was an ExecKick delay with an interval of 10 minutes, because interval, I believe, is hours, minutes, and seconds. So now I know my responsible program, and I know why he is waiting, is because he's issued the ExecKick delay for 10 minutes, and if you remember on our calculations before, one had been waiting for almost 6 minutes, and the other one had been waiting for almost 4 minutes. So there's at least 4 more minutes going to go by before you respond back to the TOR. So just going through our diagnosis, we found that many of our tasks on our AOR, which was outpost 17, were sitting in interval control waits, or IC waits. Both sessions, less than AA4 and less than AA5, were running CSMI tasks, and both had issued an ExecKick delay for 10 minutes. Both of those tasks were also pointing to a program named IRLink, which was responsible for issuing the delay. And that was around offset 9 able. The delay is causing the associated task on the TOR to wait in his IR link wait. So you would want to take this information to your application programmer that's responsible for program IR link, make him aware of the cause and effect of what's happening here because of the delay being issued, and let that programmer take the appropriate actions, whatever may be necessary. I just want to say that this is a very simplified case. It was very straightforward, easy to get to, etc. Be aware, we could have ended up where this task was in a file control IO wait because he possibly issued a remote request to an FOR connected via MRO. So you can see how it could get deeper and deeper, but you would use the same exact techniques just starting here to find out, if that had happened, to find out his matching TCTTE on whatever the FOR would have been, and then taking a dump of that FOR and going through these same techniques to find out what's holding him up. So I just wanted to explain, this is very oversimplified, but it can be this easy. That's all I have. I'm going to turn it back over to Elijah, and thank you.
We'll have one question in the queue at this time. We'll go to Pamela Melby with Wells Fargo.
Hi, actually, this is John Hambidge. Is there a location where it shows what the common stub names are and the stub lengths?
I don't believe so. But like DFHYA is assembler, DFHYC is COBOL. Not sure what the PL1 might be or something like that, but that's normally the two you see is YC and YA. The assembler is always 28 bytes. The way you could actually determine it is to start walking the stub and finding the branch down to the store multiple 14 through 12, which I believe is a 90 opcode. When you find that branch, that should be the beginning of your module. Hopefully that helps.
Okay, thank you.
What was your name again? And I can find out and maybe email you.
Yeah, my name is John Hambidge, and my email would be my last name, Hambidge, H-A-M-B-I-D-G-E,
okay.
At wellsfargo.com.
Okay. I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Scott, for presenting today.
Thank you.